use the attributes of that the object is working.
Let's see an example.
And in Pascal it was much more clear, because in Pascal there was procedures and there were functions. And procedure didn't return anything. When they make C, everything is function, even they don't return anything.
Yeah. So hello is a method. We call it like this. It prints simply hello. However, if you do this, that by mistake, for instance, print hello, then you get this.
But I wouldn't call hello a method, because in how we use words is that method is always part of some object. And I would call this a subroutine, or procedure, like in Pascal, because it has nothing to do with any object.
Yeah.
And at least we have reserved word method for only for something that is in object. For example, string is object, and when you call something string dot something, that's method. And that can either return a value, or it can just okay, in string you can't manipulate anything, but in some other object it may manipulate something.
Well,
list is an object, so when you call list dot sort, then sort is a method. That I agree.
Yeah.
But hello is not method. I wouldn't call it method.
Well, I call a method that doesn't have a return value, and I call a function a function if it returns something. And the subroutine can be either a method or a function.
Yeah, but how do you differentiate that? Is it something that has anything to do with object or not? Because this has no object. Because method has a real method has always that self parameter.
If a method or a function is inside the class,
then it's method.
Then I call it an instance method or instance function.
Okay.
But it's just terminology. So, what happens here? This is I call it a method because it doesn't have a return value, but Python technically, even in this case, returns this special value none. So, hello is called, it will print hello, and it returns none. It returns none, so print none. That's why it appears. So, then you write. By mistake, for instance, we have Ellie, okay? Ellie equals Ellie.sort. Ellie.sort is a method. It doesn't have any return value, but actually it returns none. So Ellie has become none. You lost your list. That's why you need to use, for instance, the sorted built-in function, because it has a return value. Okay. Let's see some other common set operations. What are the most common set operations? Union. You can cheat. Intersection.
Difference.
They exist in Python. For instance, A, it is a list. This way we convert it to a set and we give it to A, so A becomes a set. B is an empty set. And this is how you can add an element in the set. B.add. So in B, now we have banana and orange. A.union B takes the union of the two sets. But it will return a new set. So it doesn't mean that to A you add the content of B. A is not changed. A.union B will create a new set with the union of the two sets. So in A we had apple, banana, lemon, and orange will also be in the union. Let's take the intersection. Here we have orange, banana. In the intersection we only have banana. So that's what we get. A.difference B from apple, banana, lemon, we remove orange and banana. Banana is removed, so apple and lemon will be the result. And there is also a remove method. With this, you can remove an element from a set. So let's create an empty set. This is the way. Oh, the empty set is printed like this. This is an empty set. With add, you can add elements into it. How can we ask the size of a set? It is also called the cardinality of a set. What's your impression? Len, of course. It will tell us the number of elements in a set. And A.remove, you can take an element out. So now we only have BB.
The same hold for list. Can you remove element from list?
You can remove an element from a list.
That's exactly the same way.
Yeah, with the remove. However, if the element is not in the list, it will raise an exception.
Oh, what about set?
I think it also raises an exception. Yeah, it's a key error exception.
So you must always first ask if there is element.
Yes, or you put it in a try except. You put it in an exception handler.
But I hate to put everything to exception handler when it's not needed.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's faster in Python, but it's not good sentence in C Sharp or Java, because it's very difficult system to make that exception handling.
Yeah.
So it's always slow to go through that.
Or you can use the in operator first to test if the element is in the set or not. It returns true or false. If it returns true, then you can remove.
It sounds very funny that if you have a long list, you first go through all the list, and then you go it once again.
Yeah.
Then I would rather, for list, I would rather ask the index of the element. Then I would get -1 or the index. And then I could say that remove from that index. Then I don't know. Need to code it twice.
Yeah, it would be faster. Okay, so that was the set data structure. Now let's move on to the dictionary. A dictionary is a hash table or a hash map. It has different names in different programming languages. In Python, its name is dictionary. And this is what it looks like. behind the scenes. So we have keys, and we to each key we have an associated value. So we have keys and we have values. And the keys are unique. You can think of them like primary keys in a database table. They are unique, and the value can be anything. The value can also be even none, that special value none. It's also allowed. So the keys are the important thing. And here is how you can create and work with dictionaries. Let's see an example. Let's create an empty dictionary. It will be an opening and closing curly brace. When you print it, it will appear like this. Let's see the type. It is a dict. That is a dictionary. Let's put some key value pairs in it. Between square brackets, you provide the key, for instance, A, and you provide the value, alpha, for instance, B, let it be beta, G, gamma. Now, in the dictionary, we have three key value pairs. This is how it appears: key, colon, value. And these key value pairs are separated by a comma. This is a new thing in Python 3.6 that the keys keep the order. So first I put in A, then I put in B, put in G. They keep the order. This is a new thing in Python 3.6. But in previous versions, it was unordered, just like a set, because it also uses the hashing technique. So in previous versions, it was completely unordered. And I think it would be better to think of a dictionary that it is still unordered, because they are only ordered in Python 3.6, in the newest version. In all the previous version, they were not ordered. So if you rely on this, and if you use this feature, it will only work well in 3.6. In previous versions, it won't work correctly.
Is there any way to tell that this source code must be Python 3.6, that it would run in all the ones? Can you make it so that it's an error if you try to run it?
You can ask the version of the Python interpreter of the running environment at the beginning of your code. And if it's less than 3.6, then you can drop an error message, for instance, and stop. So I think it's better to think of a dictionary that it's not ordered. The key value pairs can be in arbitrary order.
Can the values be different than strings?
Sorry?
Can the values be different than strings?
They can be. Any object or value.
But can the same dictionary have mixed values?
Yeah.
Yeah, they can.
Any element can have any value.
Mm-hmm. But the
in real life, they are very complicated. That one could be a list, and one could be a set, and the other could be something else, and one could be even dictionary, and they are really complicated in real life.
And the keys must be immutable objects. So a string can be a key, a number can be a key, even a tuple can be a key. But a list cannot be a key. Only unmodifiable things can be keys. How to access a value by using the key? Between square brackets, you provide the key, and then you get the value. What happens if you want to access a non-existent key, then you get an exception, key error. There is another way, d.get. You ask O. And it will try to access the value of O, of the key O. And if it doesn't exist, it will return none. So it returns none instead of an exception. So if you want to avoid exceptions, you can use this get method. And get has an optional second parameter. And here you can specify what it should return if this key doesn't exist. For instance, instead of none, I want the value 0. If it doesn't find it, it will return 0. Or empty list. If the key O is not found, then please return an empty list.
Or in this case, maybe empty string, because the other values are string.
Yeah, empty string.
And I encourage you to use this form, because it's so much safer that you just call it and you always get something you can trust. Mm-hmm. Instead of using the brackets when you may get the exception. Only when you are 100% sure that it exists in the list, then you can use those brackets.
Mm-hmm.
And at least in TIM, I have found that it's much better to use the latest form.
Yeah. If this key is found, then of course it will return the corresponding value, alpha in this case. How to modify a value? For instance, I want alpha to be full capital. Then I simply assign a new value. Then it's full capital. The value is replaced with this new value. You can also use the in operator to check if a key is present or not. Is the key A present in the dictionary? Yes, it is. What about O? O is not present, it returns false. You can also use len. It will tell you the number of key value pairs in a dictionary. Okay. Let's see some other examples. Yes. If you work with dictionaries, it's a common thing that you only want to work with the keys, or you only want to work with the values, or you want to enumerate, you want to iterate over the key value pairs. So let's see how to do that. D.keys will return just the keys of a dictionary. But in Python 3, it has also become an iterator. Lots of things in Python 2, lots of functions return the list. And in Python 3, they were replaced by iterators. For instance, d.keys in Python 2 returned the list. But if the dictionary was too big, it was not efficient. So they replaced it with an iterator.
Do you remember the iterator from programming course? But the idea is that you don't need the list at all. Even you are making iterate over a million items.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you need is somebody who remembers that on what, where you are, and when you ask the next. For example, Java, we had the method next to give the next item. It gives to you the next item and changes himself so that next time you will get the next index. So it takes very little space,
but
you can iterate through everything. And the same is here, that if you have very big dictionary, you don't get the list of the keys. Only your item that can go through all those them.
Mm-hmm. If you want to store the keys in a list, how could you do that? Which built-in function should we use? List, of course. And it will make a list of the out of the iterator. Okay, so we have this. The exercise will be to print just the keys of this dictionary, to print each key in a new line. So we need to iterate over the keys. We have it. That is an even simpler way. It's enough to write just 4 key in the dictionary. And in this case, this for loop will go over the keys. So you can write this, d.keys is an iterator. It will return the keys. Each time, just one key. You go over the keys. Or you simply write this. And this way you will also go over just the key.